Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, here we go. It's the Monday after. The New England Patriots have won the Super Bowl again in a very low-scoring game against the LA Rams, and Tom Brady exits our town this morning with a sixth ring on his finger en route to, I guess, Disney World to be alongside the MVP. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to recap everything that happened last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And congratulations again to Tom Brady. Man, that dynasty just keeps rolling. How you doing, Hugh?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. Everybody that's not from here that's listening to the radio station, thank you for listening. But y'all got to go. Y'all got to get up out of here. Because, you know, the airports and stuff are getting packed and everything. So, you know, we enjoyed you being here. But now it's time for you to go back home. To whatever it is that you do.
Well, to that end, there are alerts this morning that they're telling you if you're heading to the airport, you need to know something. You need to. They're saying the airport authority and whatnot to get to the airport 3 hours before your flight this morning. They're saying it's an all-time record, Hugh, in getting people out of town at Hartsfield-Jackson. Well over 100,000 people expected to fly out between now and noon.
Yeah, and some people are going to leave tomorrow. I know that there's a lot of people that work for the NFL. They're here. They're probably going to probably leave probably tomorrow just to miss all the hustle and bustle. But, man, I tell you, I just want to say this. Congratulations to the city of Atlanta. Congratulations to Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms for putting on a great event. Had a chance to see her the other night at the Atlanta Legends thing that V103 put on our sister station. Great event, man.
It was a great event.
It was a great time being here. Great time in the city. I'll tell you one thing that I noticed. Traffic wasn't as bad. It was bad. It was bad in parts. It all depends on where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of my friends were going to the Maxim party last night. Anywhere like in the downtown, midtown area, that's probably where it was probably the worst in the epicenter of everything over there by the stadium and everything. But for the most part, I got around the city pretty easily.
I think Atlanta did a fabulous job all week. We were part of it down at Radio Row at the Media Center all week, and the city really did. I mean, Mercedes-Benz Stadium looked so gorgeous on television last night. They had the roof open for the flyover, and then they closed the roof up. This is what Arthur Blank envisioned, what Atlanta envisioned, Hugh, when they decided to make the commitment to nearly $2 billion worth of money and whatnot for Mercedes-Benz as a showcase downtown, and it all worked out. I think it was spectacular. I agree. I think our city threw one hell of a party.
Yeah, they did, man. And it was just, from my perspective, I don't know, I didn't see any reports or anything, but from my perspective, everything kind of went off without a hitch. I mean, and the thing that I loved about the Super Bowl being here was almost everywhere you went, it was a party. You know, everybody had something, but it was all spread out. That's the thing that I kind of liked about it. You know, and I saw a lot of people being responsible. Saw a lot of limo drivers, lot of car services being used this weekend. Me myself, I didn't use one because I like to, you know, drive and move around on my own. But yeah, a lot of car services being used. Great time in the city.
So congratulations to the city of Atlanta for throwing a show. Now, as to the game itself. You know, what can you do? I mean, defense wins, and both teams played phenomenally well. Everybody says, well, the offenses were terrible. Well, how about maybe the defense played great?
You know what's funny? I understand where people are coming from when they say, well, this is a terrible Super Bowl. No, listen, this is the truism that is football. You talk about, think about it like this. All year long, The NFL got exactly what it wanted. It got high-flying offenses. It got shows going on, and people enjoyed the fact that there were high-scoring games.
Sure.
But when it comes down to it, defenses win championships, and the better defense won yesterday. Shout out to Adrian Claiborne, man. You're talking about a guy who in, what, three-year span, four-year span, if it is, if you will, has been able to play in two Super Bowls,
mm-hmm.
one and one, went AFC, NFC. So he got him one last night. Sony Michel, big time run last night to win the game. But that was about defense. That you're talking about two teams that when you look at it, they were unwavering. The Rams blinked. The Rams blinked. They ran out of gas. And they gave up a big run. They gave up some big plays, and that was it. That was some great defensive play last night. Marcus Peterson played extremely well under the circumstance. Talib Aqib, whatever. The DB. DB.
Yeah, Aqib Talib.
Aqib Talib played extremely well. It just broke down towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for them to be able to cover Gronk as long as they did and keep and minimize their big plays like they did, that's a hell of an effort for three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
For three quarters. And I understand that people are looking at it, they're probably sitting at home and they were probably throwing snacks at the TV and everything. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the game.
Well,
I really did.
This whole thing, this whole meme this morning, oh, that was the worst Super Bowl ever. I'm like, yeah, you obviously are probably under the age of 30 if you think it's the worst Super Bowl ever. We used to have Super Bowls as early or as late as like 1990. I'll give you one, 1990, and I'll give you another, 1993. Go back and look at them. I mean, the Denver-San Francisco game was 55-10. There was a game the first time the Cowboys beat the Bills in 93. Bills had, I think, nine turnovers in the game, nine or ten. I mean, literally nine or ten. They threw like four picks and five fumbles or something like that. And these games were 28-0 early in the second quarter and over. This was you didn't know who was going to win until the very end. As a matter of fact, I would even argue that how interesting was it that Zuerlein missed that kick to make it, that would have made it 13-6. As he was coming out for the kick, I said, oh, this can't happen, Hugh. This can't. Zuerlein can't make this 13-6 with 8 seconds to go. They recover an onside kick with 1 second, and Goff throws a Hail Mary. That can't happen, can it? And then he missed the kick, and I went, I guess not. But I said,
That was kind of weird the way that went down. That was kind of weird the way that went down. But, yeah, it was one of those things where, like, watching that game, and seeing that instance, I was like, okay, wait a minute. They got 8 seconds left. They're going to try to kick a field goal. After they kick the field goal, then they're going to onside kick it and get – they're going to have, like, if anything, like 1 to 2 seconds left on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost impossible. But, I mean, hey, you got to give it that old college try, but it didn't matter. It really – at the end of the day, it did not matter.
Well, and look at this. Sean McVay has a learning experience at 33. He admitted he got out-coached in the game. You know, he was playing catch-up, and every time he tried to make a move, the chess master just simply blocked the move, and it was checkmate, checkmate, checkmate. And he could never get ahead of the curve on offense. He could never figure out what New England was doing. And the brilliance of New England's pass rush, Hugh, and their scheme, where they were having guys kind of stand up and move around, and Jared Goff didn't know where it was coming from. I mean, they were rushing four guys, making it look like eight, because he couldn't pick the slot from where it was coming from.
Disguised the coverage is extremely well. A couple times he held on to the ball too long. A couple times he threw the ball to the wrong receiver. It was a great time, man. It was a great game to me. There was a lot of celebrities in the stands too. That to see, watching the game from television, it showed well. It showed extremely well. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I think, John, that thing was more packed than it was for United games. I know that sounds to be impossible, but it just seemed like it was. It just seemed like it just seemed a little bit more packed. Or maybe that was the color scheme contrasting with the scheme of the seats there. Maybe that's what it was. A lot of Patriots fans there.
Yeah, a lot of Patriots fans.
But I tell you what, man, it looked great on television. It looked extremely awesome on television to see the whole thing. And the stadium and the flyover and the way that they took the shot. It was one shot that they showed where I guess it was a panoramic view inside the stadium with the roof open. I thought that was pretty cool, the way that they showed
that.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It was great to see the city put on the way that it did.
And Boston beats L.A. again, as they did in the World Series. They do it again in the Super Bowl. And the city of Boston, Wendy, has this note this morning. This Boston's 12th championship in 17 years. 12 championships in 17 years between all their teams.
You know what? I'm at the point now. I ain't even mad at Boston. I'm not even mad at the Patriots. I'm not. I mean, you know, talking to other guys and seeing what they were able to do, man. We'll never, ever, ever, ever witness anything like this again, ever in life. This is a one-off. And you're seeing the greatest quarterback play the game that has ever played a game. This is a one-off. I've gotten to the point now, man, where, you know, I'm not about to go get me a Patriots jersey. I'm not about to get a Tom Brady jersey. I'm not about to do that. But I respect what he's done for the game. And then, you know, and then off of that, John, getting ready for the 100th season in the NFL, that's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big hoopla as far as NFL is concerned, man. This weekend for me was kind of like it was huge in a number of different ways. It was like for me personally coming full circle, seeing, you know, planning the game, going to the game, planning the game, and then being part of the festivities after the fact. And then just being a part of something that's so spectacular. Seeing all the history, going down there doing Radio Row this week, and just dealing with the history of the NFL. It was a pretty spectacular week for me.
Yeah, we are echoing the sentiments that Atlanta did a great job. And, of course, we dodged the weather bullet early in the week, and then it was off to the races for this town to put on a spectacular show. And if you're one of the Atlanta people, if you're a Falcons fan and you're going, man, that game, I don't know, it wasn't what, you know, first off, I think you're looking at it wrong, but that's okay. We could disagree on that. Just remember that there was a bunch of fans sitting around last night that kept throwing things at their TV saying, we could have won this damn game. We could have won this thing. We couldn't have won it. And I was, every time in the fourth quarter when it was 3-3, I'm going, there are a bunch of swampers down there who have done watched that 2010 Super Bowl about 52 times. Now they're over here to this thing going, we could have won. We... I'm just saying, all right? That's probably true. I don't know. That's just me being in my feelings about that, Hugh, but allow me that, if you would, on my show for a moment. I promise I won't harp on it, as far as you know.
Oh, you've been doing it all week. You know what, John? At this point, what you're doing right now does not surprise anybody. I mean, it really doesn't.
Just remember
when it flips around, just be prepared for it. You know what I'm saying?
Listen,
be prepared for it.
Now you start thinking, okay, you know, now what's next? The AAF is next week, right? Okay,
yeah.
So Atlanta will have a game next week with its new Atlanta Legends.
Well, I think
team.
They're on the road for the first game.
I
think they're on the road.
Game. I think you may be right. But their first game is coming up, and then the next time we'll see the National Football League won't be till we get to camp in July. But I don't know. I'm already going to be – I am cautiously optimistic about what next season might be like for the Atlanta Falcons. But then again, you never know. Injuries could happen. Knock on for Micah. Are the Patriots the greatest sports dynasty of all time? Because that's what they're saying this morning. Morning show with John and Hugh. Daryl's here. Wendy's here. Rocking it the day after Super Bowl 53 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the eye, Michelle the tailback. Behind Devlin, Brady under center. Gives to Michelle. Runs it left. A dive to the end zone. Touchdown Patriots. Michelle for six.
That was a tough loss last year, but a wise man told me, be where your feet are, and there's no better feeling than winning the Super Bowl. Not many people can say they won the Super Bowl.
Sonny Michel talking after the game after he had a pretty big night as Knights go for offense last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and he gets a little bit of redemption for himself as far as the Georgia loss to Alabama in the national title game and flipping right around to win the Super Bowl in the very same stadium the next year. Not so much for Todd Gurley, who ended up at the losing end of both of those games. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. Day after Super Bowl 53. Hugh, Sonny Michel, 18 carries, 94 yards, the lone touchdown. Probably, I haven't seen the breakdown, got some MVP votes behind Julian Edelman. Had a really nice night. Todd Gurley was MIA for most of the game, it seemed.
Yeah, he just seemed like he really never could get it going. And I know there was some speculation. A lot of people started bringing up the fact that maybe it was his knee that was hurting. He was adamant all week long, John, and said that it wasn't his knee.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes you wonder what exactly was going on as far as his health was concerned, because he didn't play well. He looked like the Todd Gurley that was running up, toting the rock all season long.
Mm-hmm, yeah, in the last two games, I think he had 45 yards combined between the Saints and the Patriots and 14 carries. But Sonny Michel, very good. He and Rex Burkhead broke big runs late that kind of sealed it for New England. And in a game that lacked offense, you know, New England still had 400 yards in offense, which is almost surprising to some people. But the one amazing stat, Hugh, from the game offensively, lowest scoring Super Bowl ever, et cetera, only the one touchdown. But the one most amazing stat was that one touchdown by Sonny Michel was the only, this is almost incomprehensible, the only snap in the red zone that either team had all night.
Yeah. Yeah, when they got down there, man, and it was another stat where he was the second rookie to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Jamal Lewis was the first.
Right.
Yeah, man, it was 10-yard fight all the way. It was 10-yard fight all the way. And they were – the one thing about the Patriots is that they were committed to the run game.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that with the way that they ran the football. I think on the Rams side, with Ty Gurley, we're not really knowing his health status – or what was wrong with him, that kind of hampered them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that 1-2 punch that they had early in the season. So that was something that was a little bit off. And Jared Goff, they did a great job. You say it again. They did a great job. And when he tried to throw the ball, they did a great job of disguising coverages and confusing the young player.
Well, he got hit a number of times, got sacked 4 times in the game. And they confused him time and again. And that's all they wanted to do was make it so that he had no idea, you know, what was coming at him. They just disguised everything beautifully against Jared Goff. And I think a lot of other teams are probably watching that game and taking notes on how you defend it. And again, if Gurley's not 100%, that changes the dynamic against the Rams. But certainly, how do you rattle a young quarterback? Well, that's exactly how you do it. If you can't run the football, and LA was incapable of running the football, then it was just mess with Goff's mind. That's all it was.
Well, yeah. And then you look at the fact that the Rams' defense played well. They played well, but they got tired. They ran at Aaron Donald a lot. They kind of made him a non-factor. I think Ndamukong Suh was a bigger factor early on. Like, Aaron had his moments, but I think Ndamukong Suh was a little bit disruptive. It was a couple times where I saw Ndamukong Suh get out of position, and he kind of broke down the integrity of the defense. That's what kind of hurt him a little bit too. They allowed him a couple times. They just allowed Ndamukong Suh to come up the field, and he naturally open up a lane in the offense, in the defense, the Rams defense, that allowed the running back to cut back and gain extra yards because he was up the field so much.
You know, the Patriots winning their 6th Super Bowl, tying the Pittsburgh Steelers for most Super Bowl victories of all time, and of course Tom Brady at the helm of all 6, and that is just unbelievable, and he's probably going to be back next year at age 42. I don't know, no signs that he's not going to be back to make yet another run at a number 7. In this run. And so you wonder here a little bit, because people saying after that win last night, and you're seeing it this morning, greatest sports dynasty, pro sports dynasty of major American pro sports. We're not talking about UCLA basketball or UConn women's basketball or Iowa wrestling here. We're talking about major American pro sports. And it's pretty easy, because it's hard to compare the sports. It's pretty easy to see other ones, too, that have existed. The Canadians in the NHL. Or the greatest dynasty, the Yankees in baseball, the greatest dynasty. I don't know who the greatest dynasty is in the NBA. You can make an argument for the Celtics. You can make an argument for the Lakers. You can even make an argument for the Chicago Bulls in terms of, you know, greatest dynasties for a period of time. But when it comes to just this sport, nobody has seen anything like this.
Not at all.
We talked about it this week. You know, would we ever see this again? The answer is no. And now that they've won a 6th, I don't even know how you put it into words. It's amazing.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Historic. Not to be seen ever again. I mean, I can imagine that there will be kids, 30, 40 years from now, that will put on this tape and watch. Like, this would be coaching poise. You know who the greatest quarterback ever was? He won 6 Super Bowls, went to 9. You know, who knows how many he'll go to after this, but went to 9 so far and won 6 of them. That's pretty phenomenal. I mean, when you think about how hard it is to go to Super Bowls, this cat has been to the mountaintop 9 times and has come back with 6 of them things and has won them in different fashions. Sometimes, most of them, he won by, 3 points? 3-point games. They haven't been They haven't been real blowouts.
The largest margin of victory they've had in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, ain't been blowouts.
Ten.
They ain't been blowouts. It's just it's been tight game, but they've always been on the winning side of this, man. And I mean, it's just greatness. It's greatness. You know what's funny? Watching one, I know we're probably going to talk about this later, talk about the commercials and everything. But one of the best commercials was not even a commercial. It was paying homage to the history of the game in the NFL, and that was right before the game even started, when they had all these NFL greats sitting around. I guess it was Roger Goodell, and they were getting ready to go to dinner. They were at a dinner setting, and you had Beast Mode in there, Marshawn Lynch. Everybody else had on suits. Marshawn Lynch had on a hat. He had on like street clothes, kind of like he did last night for the NFL Man of the Year Award. And he grabs a piece of cake, and it just sets off this whole, like in the defensive players, yeah, fumble. It's like a fumble. And that was the best commercial, and it symbolized what the NFL was all about. Then you had Tom Brady over there, and Julian Edelman said something to him, and Tom says, "Hold these." And it was like all five of his rings, and he put them in his hand.
Right.
And that was the coolest thing to see. All of that was just – that's what really made me proud to be a part of the NFL, because that was pretty cool to see all of that.
And Julian Edelman, MVP, I'm uncoverable. Uncoverable. I mean, I don't know what it is, but the dude, you can't cover him. And so when you can't cover somebody, you said before the show, we were sitting out there, you said something about how many yards he had this season, because you watched that game last night and you think, oh, this guy's going to have 5,000 yards because you can't cover him. But he really wasn't that big a factor in the regular season. I mean, he was, but he wasn't huge. You know what I mean?
I mean,
he wasn't an all-pro.
No, but he works well for the offense, John. I mean, and that's the thing about it. I did not know he went to Kent State, got drafted by the Patriots. And we were looking at his stats for this season, had 74 receptions for 850 yards, 6 TDs. I mean, when you look at those numbers, they're not that great, but they work well for what they do. They do in that offense. And, you know, it's funny. People are chiming in, talking about it wasn't so much great defense as it was bad offense. Listen, however you choose to spin it to make it feel good for you, that's fine. If that's the way you feel about the game, that's fine. I did not see it that way. I'm a defender. I was a defensive player. I did not have a problem with what I saw last night. And that's just – I'm just going to leave it at that, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people woke up this morning – and they're feeling some kind of way. They feel like they didn't get their money's worth. And that's fine. If that's the way you feel about it, that's fine. Offense is sputtering, whatever, however you want to spin it. I look at it differently. I look at it as, the defense has stepped up and they did a job, even though that during the regular season, both of these defenses weren't that great during the regular season. But there are many examples of defenses stepping up and playing great in the playoffs, as opposed to the regular season. One defense that steps up and comes to mind for me right now is Indianapolis Colts. What was it, when Bob Sanders came back?
Mm-hmm.
They were, before he left, they were a sieve. They were getting gashed. As soon as he comes back, they go on a run in the playoffs, and they have one of the best defenses in the playoffs. So I look at it differently. So I respect everybody texting me, talking about how it was about Jared Goff wasn't that great, all this other stuff. I get that. But to me, I enjoyed the game because of the defensive plays that were made.
Well, but Jared Goff wasn't great because, the fact is that the game plan, the scheme of the New England Patriots on defense was so good, it was blanket. There was nobody open. Tell me the one time you saw a Ram receiver running free, except for that one miss that he had on the one play late in the game where I don't forget who it was who came open over the middle of the field and was wide open. For the most part, there were, and he missed him. He didn't even see him. He went somewhere else with the ball.
Yeah, his clock was definitely sped up in his mind.
Right.
His clock was definitely sped up in his head.
But so was Brady's. I mean, Brady wasn't able to be effective downfield except for maybe the one or two passes and the one to Gronk that set up the touchdown. If you had told me before the game that you guaranteed that the New England Patriots were going to end up with 13 points, I would have said Super Bowl champion L.A. Rams.
I agree. But they both defensive coordinators in this game did a great job of disguising their coverages, and they did a great job of confusing quarterbacks, because even at the beginning of the game, Tom Brady didn't know what they were trying to do. That's when he threw that pick. I know, granted, it bounced off of the receiver's arm to his chest, and the Rams defender was able to get it. But still, you're talking about two guys who have seen – well, one guy in Tom Brady who has seen every defensive scheme that you can think of. And Wade Phillips – figured out a way to disguise coverages and confuse Tom Brady, and had that defense playing well. The only reason why in my mind, that the Patriots were able to score is because they had a couple of defensive breakdowns. Had a couple of big plays by Gronk. Julian Edelman was clutch. I think he had like 7 receptions at one point. He didn't miss a pass that was thrown to him. And that's basically what it was. That's a game where when you really break it down and you look at it, that both offenses chipped away and they took everything that the defense gave them and they were able to capitalize on it. It wasn't one of those games where, you know, there was a huge breakdown in coverages and things of that nature where you got big plays. That was a straight up and out chess match. Straight up.
A lot to chop up from this game. You mentioned commercials. We'll get into that. Our best and worst. Our thoughts about the halftime show. Sure you have thoughts about that too. And this dynasty. And the show Atlanta put on. A lot to talk about on the Monday after the Super Bowl. With John and Hugh, next up we'll venture to the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is The Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Talking all things Super Bowl this morning, including on our Twitter page at 929 The Game. Not only was the game a dud, you could say some of the commercials were a dud, but asking you what the best Super Bowl commercial was. And obviously we get 4 choices on Twitter, so you can tweet us yours if it's not on the list. But the 4 you can choose from are the Bud Light Game of Thrones commercial, Alexa, who had rejected ideas throughout their commercials, Pepsi More Than Okay, or NFL The 100-Year Game. So how would you guys vote who had the best commercial yesterday?
Well, I just said I like the 100-Year Game. I like that. Because that to me was, I mean, you know, I was in it. And so it was a reflection of the past and the present and how just made me wonder what the NFL is going to do for the 100th year. That's going to be a big deal in the NFL. It really is.
Yeah, as good as the Bud Light commercials were, and they were both very good, the corn syrup one where they're delivering the corn syrup and the Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is very creative. I mean, at the Bud Light night, get killed, and then suddenly the dragon shows up. It's a very creative commercial. But, yeah, that NFL 100 was so well done, so well produced. Of course, they do have the advantage of having anybody they want in it, though I kept expecting Jet Jones to show up. But it was a great commercial, and such a great commercial that it made everything else look bad.
And it's pretty lengthy, too. So if you haven't seen it, I mean, it's on YouTube now or it's all over the internet. All you have to do is type in NFL The 100-Year Game and watch the entire commercial. But, yeah, I thought some of these commercials were pretty good. I think we have 4 pretty good options, but that NFL one right now is leading with 64% of the vote. 23% are saying the Bud Light, 8% Alexa, and 5% saying Pepsi.
You know what? You got it, John.
The Alexa commercial has really divided people. I've seen it on the best list, and I've seen it on the worst list.
Mm-hmm. I think it just depends on which one you're doing. I think the hot tub one was funny. I liked the one with the dog collar, kept ordering dog food.
Right.
It's like a huge truck shows up with all this dog food. I think it just depends on which Alexa commercial you're talking about.
One of my favorite commercials was the one about the Kia plant and how they talked about how a lot of, like it just was like a historic piece about how a lot of the people that worked there didn't make it, their college dreams didn't end up in the NFL. It was about the Telluride. It was the new truck that they have coming out.
Right, the West Point, Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty cool. I liked that one because it was just like, wow, that was pretty deep. Our dreams didn't end in the NFL and da 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 da.
Really puts things into perspective.
Yeah,
you stopped to think about that commercial.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It had you really thinking. It had you really thinking about, damn, they, like some people had NFL aspirations and stuff and they didn't make it, but they out there making these Kias.
That Kia was a nice. Way to pull on our heartstrings there.
Yeah, Kia truck was nice, too. That's a nice truck. Kia, I'm not just saying this because we're in the Kia studios. But Kia is really trying to dip their head into this whole luxury SUV thing and this sports car market. They're doing pretty good.
They've done a great job.
Yeah, they really
are. Yeah, I tell you right, I kind of want to look at that car.
No, you know what's funny about Kia is I remember when back here, back in the day, where you could go buy one key and get one free. Y'all don't remember that. Don't remember that. Like back in the day, Whitney, you bought one key and you got another one for free. I remember that. That was like in the 90s.
Yeah, they were trying to establish the market, right?
Yeah. You could buy one Kia and get another
Kia
for
and
free.
Hyundai came into the market and they were throwing everything they could because Honda and Toyota had so dominated the market and even Suzuki. And so they were trying to make some inroads into the.
I wonder if anybody that listens to the show actually took advantage of that deal. Because I remember that was a big deal. Get one Kia, get another one for free.
Now you can't. I mean, Kia has really stepped up their game.
Oh, yeah, they big time. Big time.
Immaculate. So, yeah, that commercial tugged on your heartstrings. And you're like, oh.
Put it in perspective.
Exactly. Well, just so there's no misunderstanding, Gladys Knight killed the national anthem. She just simply went out there and sang it. But bettors are now up in arms because depending on what book you bet with, depending on if you won or not. So due to a dispute over Christina Aguilera's 2011 performance, prop bets for the Super Bowl anthem are scored at the conclusion of the first Brave is normally where they will end the time. So, you know, you do the over under a minute 47, whatever it might be.
Right.
So fast forward to Gladys Knight's performance ahead of Super Bowl 53. And the argument could be made that Knight sang Brave twice. She did it on purpose because that's how she performed it. So she stretched out the Brave at the end that may have started a separate Brave. So that becomes an issue for anyone who placed a bet on the national anthem time. The over-under was set at 110 seconds. So depending on how you time it, the anthem came in around 118 seconds in its entirety. So the definition of that first Brave, though it changed the prop completely, because if stopped at the end of the first Brave, she hit the under. But if you count that second time she sang Brave, it would have been the over. So depending on what sports book you went with, depends on how you won.
Really?
Yes.
Man, you're kidding me.
I look at it like
this. It's very serious.
As long as she was still singing, it counts. That's my
That's how I look at it. Until she's actually clicked, the mic is done, right?
Yeah.
Well, it depends because it was all due to Christina Aguilera's because she stretched out the entire Brave and they went with it. Really, like, caused a lot of controversy because a lot of people had taken the under and it would have been under, but they did the entirety of the song. So now they had stopped it when the first note of Brave hit. But Gladys Knight apparently did it twice. So it is a big controversy right now with bettors.
Want to give a shout out to the first responders commercial, too. Somebody just pointed that out to me, my man Ty. That was a good commercial as well. That was one of the ones that put, like, you talk about putting stuff in perspective.
There was, like, a lot of deep commercials. I'm like, can we keep the fun?
You talking about the Anthony Lim one?
Oh, that one. And you know what's funny? It makes me kind of wonder why they didn't want to put the marijuana. They put all these other things in there.
That was a heavy hitter.
Yeah, but why they didn't put the marijuana commercial in there?
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
That one was even more heavy. If you guys haven't seen that one,
I tell you what was kind of morbid. The Game of Thrones one. Did you see that one?
Mm-hmm.
Where the knight fought the hound.
Yeah.
And the hound crushed the can. No, the mountain. I'm sorry. The mountain. The mountain crushed the can. And then the dragon came. Did you see that one, John?
Oh, yeah.
That was bananas. That was bananas. It put everything in perspective that Game of Thrones will be back before you know it. March.
Are you getting excited about it, Hugh? It seemed ago.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, what are you going to do? Wait, well, we waited 2 years?
I think 2 years,
Yeah,
right?
We waited 2 years for this. So, yeah, definitely excited. There's a couple other series that are coming out, too, as well, that I'm a little bit excited about. They did a preview for Hannah, like, last night on Amazon Prime. You could have watched the first episode.
Okay.
Which was meh.
Oh, did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Stayed up after the Super Bowl?
Yes,
to watch
I did because I was.
Good for you, Hugh.
And that's probably why I was as late as I was this morning because I was struggling. But I stayed up and watched it because they did such a great job of promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to see what it was about. The first episode was an origin story, kind of give you a little background about her. Mm-hmm. Meh.
Meh.
It was meh. But I'm kind of excited.
Staying up for it.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't. But I was invested at that point. So now I got to see. Now I got to see another episode to see what happens. Because you know how you get sucked in. Mm-hmm. Now you want to see what's about to happen. So I want to see what's about to happen.
So even though it was meh, you're going
to
watch
it. I got to.
Episode.
It's all. You know what it's like for me? Have you ever seen that? What was that? The vampire one? The one that all the women were going crazy about? Breaking Dawn or whatever? The Remember the one with the werewolves and whatever that one was. I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah.
And it was like three different trilogy. It was a trilogy. Yes.
Okay.
Breaking Dawn, yeah.
I watched the first one, which
Twilight.
Was okay. Twilight, there you
go. There we
go. Yes. Twilight.
I haven't seen any of those.
Yes. Yeah. Wendy, I watched the first Twilight, so I ended up watching all three, and I was gravely disappointed. But I did it because I was invested at that point.
The teen book series made into movies.
Busy, sorry for taking your segment.
busy weekend for the NFL. Falcons had a couple of chances to really shine on awards night on Saturday night at the NFL Honors. A couple of former and a current Falcon honored front and center. And the MVP and the Coach of the Year. Coach of the Year is a bit of a surprise to some. As we continue our coverage of breaking down the big game from Super Bowl 53 with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.